Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After midnight.
The first train whistle came 20 minutes after the last wedding guest left. Allison stopped beside one of the empty tables holding the garment bag that belonged to her younger sister. For a moment, she wondered whether she had imagined the sound. Then she noticed that her father had stopped what he was doing, too. Dennis stood near the entrance with the box containing the wedding cards tucked beneath one arm. He looked toward the tall windows at the back of the room, beyond which the old passenger platform disappeared into the darkness. Neither of them spoke until the whistle faded. The wedding reception had been held inside a restored train depot near the edge of town. The building had served as the local station for more than 70 years before passenger service ended. Freight trains continued using the line for a while, but they eventually stopped too. The tracks had been disconnected more than 30 years earlier. The depot remained empty until the town restored it as an event venue. The original ticket windows, wooden benches, station clock, and baggage room had all been preserved. Most weekends, the former waiting room hosted wedding receptions, anniversary parties, or community dinners. Allison's sister had fallen in love with the place the first time she toured it. The long windows overlooked the platform, and the brick walls and high wooden ceiling gave the room more character than the newer venues she had considered. During the reception, strings of warm lights and flowers had softened the old station enough that no one thought about how isolated it might feel after dark. Now the DJ had packed his equipment, the caterers had cleaned the kitchen, and the last guests had driven away. Without music or conversation filling it, the former waiting room seemed much larger. Most of the cleanup was finished, but Allison and Dennis still needed to clear the final decorations, gather the bride's belongings, and make certain nothing had been left beneath the tables or in the coat room. They folded the remaining table linens, collected several flower arrangements, and carried boxes to their cars. The venue manager had told them she would return shortly to complete a final walkthrough and lock the building. Even if Allison and Dennis finished before she arrived, they did not intend to leave the depot unlocked and unattended. Until the manager returned, they were the only people inside. Allison asked whether Dennis knew where the whistle had come from. He had lived in the area his entire life. He remembered trains stopping at the depot when he was a child, and he had watched the final freight train pass through town years later. He knew the old line as well as anyone. The nearest active tracks were several miles west. Dennis admitted that sound could travel a surprising distance at night, especially when the air was cool, but the whistle had not seemed to come from the west. It had sounded as though it came from somewhere beyond the platform. There were still reasonable explanations. A truck horn could resemble a train from a distance, or someone might have been working near the active rail line. Dennis did not seem especially concerned, so Allison returned to checking beneath the tables. She found a phone charger under a chair and a pair of children's shoes near the coat room. Her father carried another load to the car while she went into the bridal room. Most of the flowers had been taken home, but a few arrangements remained on the counter, along with a makeup bag and a folded shawl. As Allison placed everything into a box, she heard something moving in the main room. It was a soft rolling sound, followed by a light metallic tap. She assumed her father had returned with one of the carts until she stepped through the doorway and found the room empty. The noise had stopped. At the far end of the room, an antique luggage cart stood behind a velvet rope as part of the depot display. Its wooden wheels were angled slightly toward the platform doors, but Allison could not remember whether they had been positioned that way earlier. Dennis returned a moment later, He had not moved the cart or heard anything while he was outside. Allison looked through the rear windows. The platform lights illuminated a short stretch of rusted track before it vanished into weeds. Beyond that, the former rail bed crossed an open field and ended near the highway, where part of it had been paved over years ago. Nothing moved outside. They continued clearing the last tables and gathering the family's belongings, although the silence no longer felt as comfortable. Allison became aware of every small noise her father made as he moved through the building, his footsteps carried across the wooden floor, and the closing of a cabinet in the kitchen echoed into the waiting room. Dennis checked the restrooms and coat room while Allison carried another box toward the front entrance. As she passed the old ticket windows, she heard a faint clicking from behind the counter. She stopped and listened. The sound resembled someone tapping on a keyboard, but the office behind the windows was locked and used only for storage. By the time she called for her father, it had stopped. Dennis tried the office door and found it secure. Through the ticket window, they could see stacked folding chairs and boxes of decorations. Nothing inside appeared capable of making the sound. Allison checked the time. The venue manager should have arrived by then, but she was only a few minutes late. Dennis suggested that they finish their walkthrough so they would be ready to leave as soon as she appeared. They made one final pass through the main room. Dennis checked beneath the tables while Allison looked through the bridal suite again. When they met near the platform doors, they were both carrying the last of the family's belongings. The whistle sounded a second time. It was louder than before, but still distant. The long, low sound seemed to travel directly along the abandoned tracks before fading into the night. Dennis set down his box and opened the door to the platform. Cold air entered the waiting room. Allison followed him outside, expecting to see headlights on the highway or someone near the edge of the property. The parking lot was empty except for their two cars. Beyond it, the abandoned tracks stretched into darkness. Dennis walked to the edge of the platform. The rails below were brown with rust and weeds grew thickly between the ties. One section had sunk into the ground several yards away. No train could have reached the depot from either direction. The whistle did not come again. Allison was ready to go back inside when her father raised a hand, asking her to remain quiet. He stepped down from the platform and crouched beside the nearest rail. At first, Allison heard nothing. Then she became aware of a faint metallic hum beneath the night sounds. It was so quiet that she might have overlooked it if Dennis had not drawn her attention to it. He placed his palm against the rusted rail. A moment later, he pulled his hand away. The metal was vibrating. Dennis kept his hand above the rail for several seconds before touching it again. The vibration was still there, faint, but steady. It was not strong enough to see, and Allison could feel nothing through the soles of her shoes, but her father was certain the metal was humming beneath his palm. He had felt rails behave that way when a train was approaching. The difference was that those rails had been connected to an active line. The abandoned track beside the depot ended in weeds in one direction and beneath pavement in the other. No heavy equipment was operating nearby, and the highway traffic was too far away to account for the vibration. Dennis followed the rail several yards looking for anything that might explain it, but the humming stopped before he found anything. They returned to the depot and closed the platform door. Allison checked her phone and found a message from the venue manager apologizing for being late. She was on her way but would not arrive for another 15 or 20 minutes. By then, Allison and Dennis had finished most of the cleanup. They stacked the remaining boxes near the front entrance and made one more trip to their cars. They could have loaded the final items and waited outside, but the night had grown colder, and neither wanted to leave the building open while they sat in the parking lot. Inside, the depot was quiet again. Allison tried to convince herself that the whistle and vibrating rail were unrelated. The sound might have traveled from the active line, while the vibration could have come from a truck on the highway. Experiencing both at the same time made them seem connected, but that did not mean they were. Dennis was less willing to dismiss it. He had not worked for the railroad, but he had grown up near the depot and knew the sounds trains made. What they had heard was not a truck horn. He was also certain that the whistle had come from the east, directly along the abandoned route. They began turning off the lights in the rooms they had finished checking. Several fixtures remained on in the main waiting area, along with the exterior lights above the front entrance and platform. The long rows of windows reflected the interior, making it difficult to see outside unless they stood close to the glass. While Allison gathered the last few decorations, she heard a faint rhythm beyond the rear windows. It began as a slow, metallic clicking, paused, then resumed slightly faster. Dennis came out of the coat room and listened with her. The sound resembled wheels moving across joints in a rail, but it was so faint that neither of them could be certain. It continued for less than a minute before fading. They checked the platform again without going outside. Allison wondered whether the sounds were part of the venue. The depot had hosted enough weddings that someone might have installed hidden speakers as a joke or for atmosphere. Dennis searched near the windows and along the platform doors but found no speakers, wires, or controls. There was also no reason for such a system to activate after the reception had ended. Another 5 minutes passed. The venue manager had still not arrived. Allison carried the makeup bag and shawl to the front entrance while Dennis checked the kitchen. As she crossed the waiting room, a brief burst of static came from somewhere near the old ticket windows. She stopped. The sound was followed by a low voice, too muffled to understand. It lasted only a second or two, like part of an announcement heard from a distant speaker. Then the room became silent again. Dennis returned before Allison called for him. He had heard the static from the kitchen, although not the voice that followed it. They examined the walls near the ticket windows and found an old speaker mounted close to the ceiling. It had been painted the same cream color as the brick and was easy to overlook. A small plaque beneath it explained that the speaker had once carried arrival announcements through the station. It was no longer connected. Allison reached for her phone. She wanted to call the venue manager again. But before she could unlock the screen, the whistle sounded for the third time. This one was closer. It did not rattle the windows or shake the building. The sound simply rose from the darkness beyond the platform, clear and unmistakable. It held for several seconds before fading into a low echo that seemed to move past the depot. A moment later, the old speaker released another burst of static. Dennis and Allison stood without moving. Neither wanted to approach the platform doors, but both kept looking toward them. The whistle had been loud enough that there should have been headlights, movement, or some other sign of a train outside. There was nothing. Then Allison noticed something different about the windows. At first, she thought the glass had fogged. A pale band moved across the lower panes from one end of the waiting room to the other, accompanied by the faint rhythm of metal wheels. It looked almost like light passing across the side of the building, yet nothing appeared beyond the glass. The movement stopped near the platform doors. The sound stopped with it. Dennis opened the door cautiously. Cold air entered the depot, carrying a smell Allison recognized but could not immediately place. Her father identified it as coal smoke, although neither of them could see smoke in the air. They stepped onto the platform. The rails were still, and the field beyond them was dark. Dennis walked to the edge and listened, but the only sound was traffic on the distant highway. Allison was about to return inside when she noticed movement near the far end of the platform. A man was standing beneath the last exterior light. He had not been there moments earlier. He wore a dark uniform with a fitted jacket and a narrow cap. One hand rested near his waist while the other held what appeared to be an old railroad lantern. Allison's first thought was not that someone had wandered onto the property. The man was too pale, and the light above him passed through the edges of his body. She could see the brick wall of the depot faintly through his uniform. Dennis saw him too. The figure removed a pocket watch and looked down at its face. Then he turned toward the abandoned tracks, as though expecting something to emerge from the darkness. The lantern in his hand produced no light. Another whistle sounded in the distance, and the conductor slowly raised his head and looked directly at Allison and her father. The conductor continued looking at Allison and Dennis from the far end of the platform. Neither of them moved. Allison held her father's arm, afraid that if they stepped back or made a sound, the figure might begin walking toward them. He was far enough away that she could not make out every detail of his face, but she could see that his coloring was wrong. His skin and uniform had the faded gray appearance of an old photograph, and the brick wall remained faintly visible through his body. The conductor lowered his gaze to the pocket watch in his hand. After checking it once more, he closed the cover and slipped the watch into his jacket. Then he turned toward the abandoned tracks. The faint metallic rhythm returned. It came from the same direction as the whistle, moving toward the depot with the steady pattern of wheels crossing sections of rail. The sound was not loud, but it grew clearer as it approached. Dennis stepped closer to the edge of the platform, staring into the darkness. There was no headlight and no visible train. The weeds between the tracks remained still. Nothing moved across the field, yet the sound continued, drawing nearer. Allison could feel the vibration now, not through the entire building, but in the wooden platform beneath her shoes. The conductor raised his lantern. It gave off no light. Even so, he held it above his shoulder as though signaling an engineer. A final whistle sounded from beyond the property, followed by the faint squeal of metal against metal. Then the rhythm stopped. The silence that followed felt like the silence after a train had pulled into a station. The conductor lowered the lantern and began walking along the platform. His footsteps made no sound. Every few yards, he paused and looked toward the empty tracks, as though checking doors on passenger cars that Allison and Dennis could not see. As he came closer, Allison could see more of his face. He appeared to be an older man with a narrow jaw and a heavy mustache. His expression was serious, but not threatening. He seemed completely unaware that the tracks were broken, the station was closed, and the passengers he expected had stopped coming decades ago. When he reached the middle of the platform, he turned toward the depot. For one terrible moment, Allison thought he was going to enter. The glass door behind them was still open, and nothing stood between the figure and the waiting room. Instead, the conductor stopped. He looked past Allison and Dennis into the decorated room, where a few flowers and strands of lights remained from the wedding. Something in his expression changed. He appeared confused, as though the station no longer looked the way he remembered it. Static burst from the old speaker inside. The conductor turned sharply toward the tracks. He lifted the lantern again, and his body began to fade. The platform light shone through his uniform. His face became indistinct, and within seconds, he was gone. The smell of coal smoke disappeared with him. Allison and Dennis remained outside until headlights turned into the parking lot. This time, they belonged to the venue manager. She parked beside their cars and hurried toward them, apologizing for arriving so late. She immediately noticed that something was wrong. Allison tried to explain what they had heard and seen, while Dennis walked to the end of the platform to make certain the figure had not reappeared. The manager did not laugh or suggest that they had mistaken someone for a wedding guest. She told them that people occasionally reported hearing whistles after events, usually while packing up late at night. One cleaning crew had also heard what sounded like a train pulling into the station, although no one had ever described seeing the train itself. A few people had reported a man on the platform. Their descriptions varied, and no one had connected him to a specific conductor who had worked at the depot. The manager did not mention the stories to renters because most events ended without anything unusual happening. She checked the locked office behind the ticket windows. Nothing had been disturbed, and the old announcement speaker was not connected to the building's sound system. The antique luggage cart remained behind its rope, although it now faced the platform doors. Once the walkthrough was complete, the three of them carried the last boxes outside. The manager switched off the lights and locked the depot. Allison and Dennis waited until she tested each door before getting into their cars. As they prepared to leave, another whistle sounded in the distance. The venue manager heard it too. She stopped beside her car and looked toward the abandoned tracks, but none of them went back onto the platform. Allison and Dennis told the rest of the family what had happened the following day. Her sister initially thought they were trying to add a ghost story to her wedding memories, but Dennis was not someone who exaggerated. He remained convinced that the sounds had come directly along the old line and that the vibration in the rail had been identical to what he remembered from approaching trains. Neither Allison nor her father ever saw the conductor again. They returned to the depot for daytime events, but they never volunteered to remain after everyone else had gone home. Allison still wondered whether the wedding had contributed to what happened. For one evening, the depot had been crowded again. People had arrived carrying bags and gifts, voices had filled the waiting room, and cars had continually pulled away from the building. Perhaps some part of the station remembered what it had once been. They never saw a phantom train. They only heard its whistle, felt its arrival, and watched a conductor walk beside something that was invisible to them. Whatever continued stopping at that depot, he was still there to meet it.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.